joy to be with you this morning. Praise the Lord. Pastor Kelvin, a good friend, I've known him on his first day of arrival to take a church in Melbourne. How about that? I was the guest speaker on that morning. Hallelujah. I like to prophesy on some people this morning, and I saw them up here. So I like this idea of a civilization represented by Acts 2:20, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. But it's going to be backed by stretching out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of the Holy Servant Jesus. I checked the dictionary and found out that civilization means a stage of a society in its social and cultural position. And we are about a different civilization. To me, it's a kingdom civilization. And kingdom life, kingdom family, kingdom people, kingdom church. That has been my sense of being led by the Lord in the last 14 years, 2006. Started the first church in 1981 together with my lovely wife, and we had six people. Never imagined that today we would have 70 churches and quite a few thousand people scattered everywhere. But it's about somebody's destiny. You see that man, the black person? It's a great story of God's hand in somebody's life that released him to live God's destiny for him. Every one of you is on God's destiny. You did not just come to attend church. And I want to speak destiny in some of you. And let's start with this young lady here. I prophesied a lot. Last two weekends, I prophesied over 120 people. And so I'm going to start with you. There's a sense of determination in you, young lady. Creativity, of course. I was very impressed by your drumming. So obviously you are a talented young girl. But that's not it alone. But I sense a tremendous sense of determination in you. So when you put your hands to do something, your head is in it, your heart is in it, and so you will do well in life. And the Lord has a destiny to make you the head and not the tail. You will be a leader. You will be able to lead many people and disciple many other young people in the Lord. And don't ever be distracted. Not even boyfriends. Don't let them distract you. You're a pretty girl, so I'm sure there will be plenty of people chasing after you in a little while. But you know what? That's not your destiny. Your destiny is going, you're going to get married, you're going to have children and so on, but you're going to be a young lady of great influence in your world, and you're going to be a person that the Lord will raise you to be the head and not the tail, and the favor of the Lord will be upon you. There's another young man, some of them are here, playing the guitar over there. Yes, when I saw you, stand up, I'm going to speak a word to you. Obviously, it's a word of destiny. But the word strategy, you are a strategic young man. You plan, you make sure things work out in a certain way. I'm not quite sure what your profession is, but your profession is not the determining factor, but your brain and the sense of the Lord's hand on you cause you to function beyond your profession. Your profession is only a means to make ends meet. But really, you're a strategic person that will plan. You will do well in life, praise God. You will do well. You will do well financially. You will invest. You will create whatever portfolios that you will have. But all these are means to another end. And I would like to suggest to you, it's got to be kingdom's end. Amen. The end of the kingdom of God. There's a brother here this morning. Yes, stand up where you are. I sense the word voice came upon two people. You and another young lady over here. I don't know where she is now. She's actually a very fair young lady. Doesn't matter. You, the word voice, but it's going to be the voice of a shepherd that's going to be coming and ringing out of your life. So my dear brother, not really suggesting that you will be a full-time pastor or anything. Anything can happen in that particular realm, but the The point is the heart of a shepherd that brings a voice that will lead people. And you know what the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, eh? That's what Jesus, the chief shepherd, and you're going to have a voice. So don't keep quiet. Speak out. Lead on. Because the hand of the Lord is upon you as a voice. I don't know where is the young lady. Oh, she's in kids' church. Yeah, if you can, just sorry to interrupt your kids' program. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I like to think that when we are serving the Lord, we're not doing it by our own strength, amen. Let's believe the Lord for a sense of the Holy Spirit and believe that really what this scripture talks about, it means something. It means that we can enter in to a realm that is higher than just only what the human mind and the soul. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to prophesy on you, young lady. You see, the good thing about it is I don't know who is who this morning. When Pastor Kelvin met with me for coffee, he was about to show me the family circle, the family photo. I told him, don't show me any face because I don't want to know anybody so that when I do prophesy, I don't know who I'm prophesying. And if the word bears any witness to you, you know that it's the Lord. Amen. Sister, I just want to encourage you that because you have been a good follower, you will be a good leader. But you see, you are the second person that the word came to me was voice. You're going to be a voice for the Lord. And your voice, you see, that's the voice of a shepherd, but yours is a voice for your culture. Your culture will hear a new voice, and it's the voice of the Spirit of God that brings up Jesus. And you know what? We've been talking about life transformation quite a bit. Transformation coming out from your voice will be a very apt, appropriate destiny that God had ordained you to be. You are a culture-changing voice. You are a voice that will bring people up, hallelujah, and not allow people to just stay down. You will be a barrier-breaking voice, hallelujah, not only because you're singing. I want to see your destiny worked out in a way that will cause you to be significant in the Lord. So don't look down upon yourself. Don't think too small about yourself. But you have already started in the journey with the Lord of transforming a culture. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you for coming out. I'm going to speak on destiny this morning. And so the title is Faith for Your Destiny, Stages of Faith Development. Let's go straight into the thing here. I'll use this to help me, yes. So if you don't mind, I'll just work with this. Is that all right? Or maybe just move it to face me a little bit. Thank you. See, what happens in a normal church, we preach the gospel, and then we launch the church into a church life development process. So when you're preaching the gospel, the preaching often will be appeal to people's needs. You come, we pray for you, and so on. And only to make sure that while you are together seated as a congregation, which the Bible, the Greek calls it the ecclesia, the gathering of the people called out for God's purpose, by the way, and that's not necessarily well thought through in minds of many attending a church. While we are appealing to needs, when we are speaking to meet needs and so on, there is a danger of having the gospel only totally need-centered. And what I'm proposing to you is that we need to be beyond need-centered. We need to be kingdom-centered in our gospel. You see, the Bible, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus did not really go big on the gospel of salvation, the gospel of God who heals you. He did all those. Salvation, healing, and restoration, even raising the dead. Jesus did all these. But from his lips, the gospel had always been called the gospel of the kingdom because it's meant to take people higher. You see, life is about entry point. It's about your entry level. If you enter life at a very low entry level, and you're satisfied with it, that's where you will be, and that will be your reward. And you will not be able to have significant influence over other people. And I feel that God is wanting to use this particular word, this particular message of destiny, to let you know that you need not be like the rest of the world. You don't need to enter life at a low level because Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. It's a very high place. That was Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 2 says, we are seated together with him. And so our entry level ought to be very high. How many say amen? So as we would lift up our faith to believe that God has a destiny for us, God actually wants us to enter into his purpose and be able to live a life that will be significant for him. Everything changes when you have that kind of mindset. You won't allow yourself just to be normal. You don't allow yourself just to be human. And that's not our excuse anymore, being human. Because you are human, all right. Jesus was fully man, but Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit without measure. And you are the same. Hallelujah. There is more in you than sometimes we even understand. Okay, church attendance is what people do. We preach the gospel to appeal to people's needs. The next thing is this, come sit in church. Every pastor wants more people in church. We count everything. When we talk about at church, we always be thinking who came and who didn't come, who was missing the last Sunday. And we will count everything, including the lizards and the cockroaches. And my son, you know, when he was young, he was my attendance marker. He would tell me, he would tell us who didn't come and who was absent that morning. He's got a very good memory, even when he was a little kid. And then with church, we'll do programs and everyone participate and so on. And then we encourage people to discover their gifts so that they can use their gifts and function in different capacities. And then we encourage people to serve the church. And I can see that different ones are serving the church very well in this church. Your church is like any other church. And then we hope everybody will stay in church and hopefully it will be forever. You know, until Hillsong starts or Planet Shaker starts in the neighborhood and then people go somewhere else. Sometimes some churches actually close down their youth department just because somebody started. Something is wrong, by the way, when that happens, okay? And then we will do a little bit of token mission projects here and there and so on. But how many know that actually every one of us is already on mission with the Lord? When you have a kingdom mentality, you're on mission with God. It's not just about a mission trip. You're on a mission with God, with whoever that the Lord has placed around you in your world. And because of that, all the more, we got to understand that you are someone marked by God to be on his kingdom destiny. So Christian formation up to this stage is, in terms of church development, is what? Build faithful members serving the faith community. The church is a faith community. And hoping to bring in more people. We have those advertisements just now. And that's life. However, that's not all there is to life. Christian life is meant to be a life solution. I like this. Today, it dawned on me that this is a good name. Only today. Your pastor comes up with things that people have to catch up later. Yeah, he comes up beforehand, you know. The civilization, what is that, you know? Anyway, okay. Good thinking. Let's have the next one, sister. God has a higher plan for you. And we know this scripture very well, don't you? Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I'm reading from the NIV. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me. I will listen to you. Now, this is amazing. In other words, he's saying that if you understand that you are a person in God's destiny, in God's call, your prayer dimension is going to be enhanced. You will call unto me and I will answer you and I'll listen to you. Seek, you will find. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I'll be found of you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and bring you back to the place from which I carried you in exile. So some people actually see this verse being fulfilled today in 1948 when Israel was formed. All right. Another scripture I'd like to tell you that, while that's God's plan, his plan is higher. His plan actually connects you with heaven, because prayer was in it. Just now, did you remember? Yeah? That scripture about God's higher plan immediately actually lodges on the concept of prayer. And by the way, did you know that when Jesus was teaching, you see, the book of Matthew is the book of the kingdom. Theologically, biblically, in the seminaries, scholars would tell you that this is it. You know, if you want to start your New Testament with an understanding of the kingdom, read the book of Matthew. And incidentally, or coincidentally, the book of Matthew is the first book of the gospel. Because how many believe that number one is important? Yeah, the first is important because I think God wants us to have our Christianity anchored on the foundation and the primary foundation of the kingdom. But then we have been hijacked somewhere along the line of preaching a gospel that's meeting needs. I'm not saying that you don't need meet needs. I'm telling you that if you seek first the kingdom, or Jesus is saying, if you seek first the kingdom, your needs will be met. But then we are just going on, carrying on with needs and everything else. But you see, we are missing something that is more primary. And here we go. The world is crazy right now. I mean, Pastor already mentioned it just now. And but so people are to respond with either faith or fear. And people don't understand. And my wife still thinks, what's this going on? Why are people fascinated about the toilet roll? What has that got to do? What has that got to do with the virus? The virus is not a tummy virus. It's not a gastrointestinal problem. Why are you so concerned about toilet rolls? You know, but they're fought. She showed me a video about some people, some ladies in Woolies, and they were fighting over toilet rolls. Crazy. and you know, and we were in some supermarket yesterday, and people were 4 bags of plain flour. You 4 bags, 10 kilos each. That'll last you a long time. And anyway, however it is, it's either fear or faith. How many are going to choose faith? Amen. But then, you know, that doesn't mean you lose your common sense either. We are not that type of people. But in John chapter 16, Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. How many like this scripture? Amen. We belong to Jesus, and together with Jesus in us and we in him, let's overcome fear. Let's overcome all this kind of intimidation. To be able to overcome this, we need a supernatural God. We need supernatural protection. How many say amen? We need supernatural healing. We need supernatural intervention of God. And so my purpose of sharing with you and trying to teach you this morning is to build this church with a sense of faith that we are people with a kingdom destiny that ought to enter life at a higher level and stay there and not let the world bring us down. Hallelujah. Amen. And Psalm 138 verse 8 says, the Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Now, this is an interesting scripture. There's a combination of two persons here, God and you, God and I. The Lord vindicates me. His love endures forever. But do you know what? It is about do not abandon the works of your hands. This is God's hands. But you know what? God's hands involve your hands and my hands. Somebody say amen. God is invisible. We are the visible representation of the Lord on this earth. In fact, the word representation is not even good enough to describe what it really is. You are not just only a representation. You are not just only a representative. You are to not only represent, you are to present or represent Jesus, represent God. You and I are the face of God. Ooh, that sounds big. You are the face of Jesus on this earth. Ooh, is that true? It is true. Jesus lived like that. In John chapter 14, in John 14 verse 12, it says, Philip asked Jesus, show us the Father. Jesus said, I've been with you for all these years. Well, at least three. You're asking me to show you the Father. If you see me, you see the Father. That's the way it is. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, what does the Bible say? It says we are to be transformed from glory to glory into the likeness of Jesus so that the world can see Jesus through us. You are to represent, I am to represent Jesus and the face of the Father in this world. I think that let's just look at these scriptures and figure out that if we live in a different concept, renewing our mind of another civilization, another kingdom, another realm, we live in another realm at the same time while we are in this realm. And if we have an understanding that the realm that we are living in, our realm, is higher than the world's realm, the earthly realm, and you are sold to it, you are consumed by it, I think God is not going to allow you to be just brushed off by the power of the world and the spirit of this world, because you have a destiny yet to be fulfilled for His glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go for the next one. And destiny is in God's books for everyone. Daniel chapter 7 says, as I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and his wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood by him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. What's the picture here? It's a picture of heaven. But it's a picture of seas of people. Of course, the next verse is in Revelation. It's similar. And it's about books being opened. Why are there so many books? Because there are so many of us on this earth. Every one of us has a book. Every one of us has a story. Every one of us has a destiny. You have a book in heaven. Your book is started while you were still in your mother's womb, even before you were born. There's a book about you. That's why this word destiny bears significance, because you have a book to live out, to fulfill. So don't just only think of Christianity as a faithful member coming to church, although please show up next week and be faithful. Don't think about Christianity just only doing church things. Please do church things. You are counted for something much higher than just only what you do. You see, you won't be doing this thing and you won't be doing the guitar for the rest of your life, would you? But maybe for some people it is for the rest of their life. But you see, you're going to be a shepherd one day. That lady is going to be a world changer. Another one could be a history maker. Another one is going to be so creative that you are going to be able to create things that will impact the cyber world. Hallelujah. And some of these things are the things that you do in your generation that people like me can't do. I'm not very good at those cyber things. You know, I'm quite impressed by your video presentation, and that's very good. Praise the Lord. Who is the one who does this? You do it yourself. Oh, not too bad for your old man. Let's look at Revelation chapter 12, 20. No, he's not old. He's younger than me. He could be younger than me at least by 10 years, I think. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. another book was opened. Now that was of books and book. Yeah? Plural and singular. The second one, another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The book of life records who is in and who is out, whether or not Jesus is the Savior and Lord. But the books is about your life and what you have done. What did you do? What did I do with my life while I'm here on earth? Revelation of Kingdom Destiny that inspires faith. The title of this message is Faith for Your Destiny. All right, so now let's look at what will inspire faith for this revelation of kingdom destiny. The first point that I'm bringing about is faith from life in kingdom destiny and significance. You see, you derive faith from understanding that your life is supposed to be significant for God's kingdom. If your life is just only attending church, you get bored. After listening to sermons for about 10 years, 15 years, you can preach them yourself. You get bored. What's new? It's not meant for you to just keep on being entertained with new messages, but rather whether or not you and I are living out our kingdom destiny so that you can be a significant person for the purpose of the kingdom of God. We missed something when we just keep doing church, and I've been doing it a lot. And you know, when we went back there, we were working and so on. I was working here already for a number of years before we went back to Malaysia to plant our church. I was working downtown Queen Street. I was actually working for the Victorian government, and I was a government servant for about 4 or 5 years before I actually left and started a new career there in terms of job as a bank manager. And then after some number of years, became full-time. I went full-time because there's not enough time. That's why I went full-time. All right? I didn't go full-time because I just had a call. There was no lightning, no thunder, no nothing. So don't aim to go full-time. Just aim to serve the kingdom. How many say amen? And I think you're better off by being able... I like that prophecy over you, young man. I think you're going to be a rich young man one day. Somebody likes it, right? Yeah. Why not? You see, I think you should do well. I think you are meant to do well, physically, soul, and spirit. We should do well in all three realms. I've seen many suffering pastors, many pastors that suffer so much because I belong to the generation where we have a poverty mentality. And so I did. And I have repented of it because it's necessary to repent of it because otherwise I'll keep being poor. And thinking that being poor is holy. It's nonsense. You can be rich and still holy. Or you can be poor and still unholy. What's the big deal of this connection that somewhere along the line the religious world have gotten into? They have gotten into the wrong thing. It is about time for us to see that in the kingdom of God, we have a king. And he's king of all kings. I have never seen a king who is in poverty. I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I'm not a poverty preacher too. Yeah? I want us to be doing well. I want all of our children, and many of you that I just prophesied is like my children's age. Maybe even you are younger than my children. My youngest is already 37. So it is not about this thing about linking finance to ministry, which is an error. And I know that there are some circles that have a poverty oath of poverty and so on. God bless them. But how many of you parents would like your children to do better in finance rather than having to live? How many of you would like your children, some of you are girls, okay? How many of you would like your daughters to go and marry a guy who can't even support your daughter? Let's be real. Amen? Spirit, soul, and body. So the body part of us thinks like this. The soul part of us is the relationship between the Lord, between the spirit and the soul, and the body. By the way, not going there, but just to inform you what I've learned, that the soul is the bridge between the spirit realm and the bodily realm. If we don't take care of this realm, this morning I'm dealing with the soul in terms of your concept, in terms of your mind. I want a kingdom concept. I want a destiny concept. I want a kingdom mind. Hallelujah. so that you will lift a higher level in your kingdom life. So where do you derive your faith from? Your faith comes primarily, first of all, from a sense of knowing that you are somebody connected with kingdom destiny. And you have kingdom significance. And I'm not out of territory here as far as biblical injunction is concerned. I am within the injunction of biblical counsel to tell you that your life is meant to be of kingdom destiny and significance. How many say amen? So secondly, your faith comes from because you know that you have a purpose in life. So how can you be written off by a virus so easily? How can you be written off by a disease so easily? How can some disease, whatever their name, come and write your life off when you haven't even fulfilled your purpose in life? You see, every one of us have a very strong sense of desiring purpose. That's why when Purpose-Driven Life came out, it became the greatest seller book, greatest seller. He sold 22 million copies. Wow. Why? And you know who bought them? Christians sitting in churches bought them. Why? Because we have been attending church, we did not know what's our purpose, but we are hungry and we want to learn what our purpose is. I want to tell you this. You can buy the book, and of course this book is an old book already, you probably already had it. So maybe next time you should buy my book. Not yet come out, but actually I have already one. My book is to tell you that you've got a purpose, all right. My purpose is a higher banner, and the banner is called kingdom. If you live kingdom, if you live kingdom life, you will worship. If you live kingdom life, you would steward. If you live kingdom life, you would have relationship. So it's not just components, but kingdom in relation to who your king is. Hallelujah. And you are made as kings and priests in the book of Revelation. That's why the idea is you are born to rule. May not think it that way, but you are born to rule. I'm not given to the extremes of dominion theory, and then the dominion that comes with abuse of leadership and that kind of... No, don't go there. Dominion as the primary purpose of God since Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God made man to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule. That's NIV. King James says have dominion. Some people take the word dominion and go off tangent. But we don't need to be like that. How many say amen? Let's just be very stable and very sensible to know that God has given us a mandate, and this mandate is actually the purpose to rule. So, you know, even like scripture, like Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we should all know. He says, all things work together for good. Many times we just stop there. But it's actually all things can work together for good because you love God and you are the called according to His purpose. We've got to focus a little bit more at the end, because it is because of purpose that you can have the faith to believe that no matter what happens, it's going to turn out for good. Hallelujah. No matter what is said about you, no matter what is said against you, no matter what you've been accused of, misunderstood in, it's going to turn out for good. Hallelujah. Why? Because you have faith to know that I'm a person living for kingdom purpose. Number three, faith in promised needs met. There is a promise. And what is promised to you? Needs will be met. Matthew 6:33, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. What are those things? Physical things. So why are we only preaching a gospel of just meeting needs? And it's not that it excludes it. It includes it, but it's not the primary thing. It is a result of us seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen? How do you do it? Well, that's the journey. That's the journey. After this message, actually, there would be so many other lessons, so many other teachings that is needed to support. You want to build a new civilization? You think it's just one message? You think it's just only year 2020? No. It's going to be a lot of teachings and learning that must take place to actually build a sense of a new civilization called the kingdom of God. Amen.
Kingdom in faith is from your kingdom destiny, and it gives meaning to words like beatitudes, inheritance of nations, the Lord's Prayer, spiritual authority, Christ-like prayer power with signs and wonders. I'm glad I had that in there before I read this particular thing. I only saw this morning. Is it new? Somebody took it from the box, and then I saw, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders. That's part of our kingdom life because Jesus demonstrated it. But you know what? Our modern Christianity seems to be powerless, void of these things. How do you know? Even this year itself, your life could be filled with hands that can be used by the Lord. Stretch out your hand. Whose hand? God's hand. But God's hand, I told you, is going to be through your hand. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter whether you're young or old. Your hand is going to be used by God so that your hand will be His hand and miracles will happen. What if a young person like this young man sitting down here, and he prays for somebody who is sick and then people get healed miraculously? Wow. What is there to say that he can't do that? Not only the older people with faith, young people can have faith too. I could have prophesied on one young lad down here. I saw him while we were praying, but he's already over there, so don't disturb him. In my last week, I was in Brisbane, and I prophesied over, I don't know how many children, maybe 50, 60 of them. That was organized for that purpose, a prophetic presbytery for children, and speaking destiny into them. And one of them said, Pastor, the words that you released to them, you'll change their life for good. And he gave his testimony. Apparently, I prophesied on him about something. And now he's the pastor of the youth now. And just by one word, the prophetic word can be used to war, fight your battles. That's what Paul taught Timothy. Use your prophetic word and fight your battles, your faith battles, and see the devil defeated. That's why I still believe in the fivefold ministry. I still believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many say amen? Because it's all part and parcel of the signs and wonders. All right. Beatitudes. I give you an example there. How do you understand a word like Matthew 5 verse 3? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. If you're only an ordinary church attending Christian, what has that got to do with you? Why do you want to inherit the earth? If your father is rich, you want to inherit some money and some properties. Why do you want? You don't want to inherit the earth. But that's what the Bible says. Jesus taught them that if you're meek, you will inherit the earth. Well, if you don't have a kingdom mentality, if you don't have a kingdom destiny, that word is irrelevant. But when you understand that you are supposed to be one person ordained by the Lord in His kingdom destiny to join Him in ruling the earth, then inheriting the earth makes sense. Otherwise, some of the scriptures are just scriptures that you read and you gloss by with no understanding. I could go into more, but never mind. Let's go into the next one. Psalm 2:8, we pray for the nation and the Bible promises that you'll have nations for your inheritance. Come on, let's be real. It's not real to most people in churches. It's only a verse in the scripture. But it's not real. Why? Because kingdom mentality is not in an average Christian. This kingdom message is not a new message, but it's now a new old message. And I believe the Lord wants us to have a shift in our by the renewal of our mind, to hook onto something, to latch onto something higher. So it's no longer just only church life. And I'm a church man. But I want our church life to become kingdom life. How do you say amen? Okay. Now then the Lord's Prayer. How do you pray? The disciples asked him. Well, he said, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So now this is going to counter. You see, what we are talking about here, this is a new civilization. This is a kingdom era whereby we are going to be countercultural into this culture. including sometimes how the gospel is being preached. The gospel is preached so that people will have eternal life. How many say amen to that? But usually eternal life happens only when you die, so that you can go to heaven. But what did the Lord taught the people to pray? Your kingdom come on earth. Not waiting to go to heaven. Let heaven come down. Let heaven come down to earth. Let heaven come into your home. That means heaven can be here. Hallelujah. Have we ever tasted it? I think we have tasted it without even knowing it. Did you know that when you are deep in worship, when you have a powerful time like what we did today, any time and every time you're connected in worship, that you are lost among whoever that is leading, but lost in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many believe that heaven had come down for that moment? If we stay in that moment a little longer, what would it become of our health? What would it become of our finance? What would it become of our investments? What would it become of our work, our business, our family life, our relationships when heaven comes down? You see, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven, in Matthew 6:10, is addressing dominions. It's addressing governments. It's addressing rule. Your kingdom. Kingdom is king's domain. Kingdom is king's dominion. Your kingdom come. What does it mean? It means your rule comes. The king's rule comes. His reign comes on earth as it is in heaven. Now, if I had there also Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, it says that when you cast out demons, the devil, when you cast out devil, the kingdom of God is among you. Essentially, what the Lord was teaching his disciples was the truth that when you have a kingdom life with kingdom faith, moving in kingdom mentality, living out your kingdom destiny, bringing about the kingdom of heaven on earth, the result is the dominion of heaven displaces the dominion of the devil in Jesus' name. That is our portion. That's why we can pray for the sick. That's why signs and wonders can follow. That's why we can see greater of the power of the presence of God and not just only good verbiage from the pulpit. We want the gospel to be preached in word and in power. Amen. If kingdom is not necessary, why are you talking about authority? You know, we know that in Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission wasn't just only sending you. Sending was in verse 19-20, but before then there was a verse 18. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Now you go. Why? Because kingdom is king's domain. Kingdom is king's reign. Kingdoms is king's dominion, power, rulership. And whoever that rules, whoever is in the ruling party, he has the power and he has the authority. We want to be on the winning side. We want to be on the side of the authority. Join the kingdom clan. Hallelujah. Christ-like prayer power, signs and wonders. You exist for a higher calling. Where is your entry level? I started with it. I'm going to close with it right now. I think this morning, let us have a good sense that actually our destiny is a high-level entry point. Amen? Don't live for anything less. This message has got no regard of whether you are a young person or older person, because I feel God wants us all to be of kingdom relevance and kingdom significance. Amen?